for the low inequality and very high inequality of 62, and that's the Gini coefficient. If you're asking what the Gini coefficient is, the coefficient measures the inequality among values of a frequency distribution, which we just I just outlined for you, and that is based in, as an example, on the levels of income. And moving on to our final look, we figured we'd take a look at consumer sentiment. It has deteriorated. The years 2016 through 2021 is our records, actually 2020, and it goes on to 2021. Consumer confidence is the one in the blue, and then the core inflation coming in the one in the maroon, which shows that the business confidence is not as high as should be. Lower confidence in both is due to things like higher inflation, perhaps tighter financial conditions, and COVID-19. Okay, if you're a bit confused, let's get more from our guests, which we will bring back here. First, we will have Bruno Biclini rejoining us, professor of international studies, and he has a PhD in political science. Bruno, welcome back. Taking a look at Brazil's Da Silva to propose a Latin American currency free of the U.S. dollar, because he says that Brazil can't keep depending on that, and he said that he would like there to be deeper Latin American integration and also strengthening of the region's economic sovereignty. With Brazil being part of BRICS, what does this shift away mean from the U.S. and the West?
I'm really not sure if establishing a continental currency would be a good idea, or at least would be executed in 2 to 4 years. But all of the regional alliances, all of the strategic coordinations, we must spread out in Latin America. We must have this connection to the BRICS, to the BRICS Bank, to the BRICS Auxiliary Emergency Fund. And we must have the South Bank with full deposits. During doing this, we can get back to the other step, having the strategic coordination projects just like between the oil complex with Petrobras, PDVSA, EPF, EPFB from Bolivia. We also do have to develop again our industry and our also our green industry, because otherwise all of our countries, including Brazil, would be for the international system only platforms to export agricultural commodities and minerals.
Indeed, green energy obviously is something that's high on the list of many economies. Rejoining us for our second guest is Carlos Agueda Paiva, economist and PhD in economics at the University of Campinas. He's also the president of Paradox Consulting Company. Carlos, welcome back. Brazil's Da Silva, in terms of this new currency that he wants to adopt, not a new thing. At the same time, he is looking to shift away from the U.S. dollar and also strengthen the country's relationship regionally. With Brazil being part of BRICS now, how do you think this shift will work?
Well, I do not believe that Lula and his economic advisors are effectively committed to the creation of a Latin American currency. In my opinion, he's just signaling two movements. First, the need to deepen Latin America's solidarity and the region's sovereignty with respect to the U.S. Second, its commitment to the BRICS, and in particular to Russia and China, which are at the heart of the articulation of a new world currency replacing the dollar. These flags are essentially correct, but their conquest is not just up to us.
Brazil's current president, Jair Bolsonaro, is a far-right leader who was a close ally of neoliberal politicians in Washington. He admired the former U.S. president, Donald Trump, and sought to implement economic policies in line with the interests of politicians in the U.S. Meanwhile, leftist Da Silva has proposed a currency for Latin America in order to rid the region from the economic hegemony of the U.S. and the U.S. dollar. The aim of the measure is to deepen Latin American integration and to strengthen the region's economic sovereignty. Brazil is also a key member in the BRICS group of countries, which includes Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Da Silva's potential victory could further push the Latin American nation away from the influence sphere of the U.S. and strengthen its alliance with the countries which are seeking to forge a new international world order.
One of the characteristics of the BRICS is that we are large developing countries which face many similar challenges. So we share these experiences and we learn from each other.
The BRICS have been discussing the development of a BRICS Pay multilateral wallet and currency, which could potentially replace the dollar to further weaken its global hegemony. Da Silva is a fierce supporter of a multipolar world, free from unilateral hegemony and from sterile bipolar confrontation.
Like it or not, Latin American countries are shifting to the left. Some are also describing that as anti-US and Western, in a sense. Is that characterization accurate? Brazil may also have a leftist politician as president. First, let's review some of the leftist politicians who have become presidents. The election of Mexico's leftist candidate López Obrador. In Argentina, the moderate left Peronist candidate Alberto Fernández. Then there was a Peru's election, which saw Pedro Castillo, a far-left teacher with no previous experience, come to power. In Chile, Gabriel Boric, a former student protest leader, became the youngest president in Chile's history to become president. Moving to Colombia, Gustavo Petro became the first leftist president in the country history, and with the former Brazilian leader, Lula da Silva, expected to make a comeback in Brazil's elections this year, the picture would be complete for Latin America. The view from the outside is that this is clearly sending a message, and that is one for the US, which is not good news. This is one view, left-wing political victories across Latin America. A sign of US repudiation could help southerly cooperation based on what some experts think. Snaps from key leaders at summit of the Americas reveal Biden's struggle to assert U.S. leadership in its neighborhood. And this became true when key Latin American leaders snapped the U.S. and President Joe Biden when invited to the summit of the Americas, described as the U.S. failing to assert its leadership. Biden lays out Latin America economic plan at summit marred by no-shows. Biden is seeking to present Latin American countries with an alternative to that calls for increased U.S. economic engagement, including more investment and building on existing trade deals. But how much has China invested in Latin America? In other words, is China investing heavily in South America? China has bought up so much copper, pork, and soy, and constructed so many roads, trains, power grids, and bridges that it surpassed the U.S. as South America's largest trade partner and is now the single biggest trader with Brazil, Chile, and Peru. In the case of just Brazil, Chinese companies invested a total of $5.9 U.S. billion in 2021, more than three times the U.S. $1.9 billion reported in 2020. A total of 28 projects and acquisitions made by Chinese companies were implemented in Brazil last year. And that does it for this section of the program.
The shift in Latin American countries to the left and away from the Western financial system is a result of their economies not really profiting from the Western capitalistic system. It's been going on for more than a decade, at a minimum. Now, who said this system in the first place should be a model for a prosperous economy anyways? Financial crisis, don't forget, proves this point. Well, with countries like China and trade blocs like the BRICS, the shift has already occurred politically and now economically. That does it for this edition of the program. It was great having you with us. Thank you so much for tuning in. From Mikami Tahwe and the team, it's goodbye.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واتل عليهم نبأ إبراهيم
And recite to them the news of Abraham.
إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ
When he said to his father and his people, What do you worship?
قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ
They said, We worship idols and remain to them devoted.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing the 71st verse of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. The verse says, قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ They said, we worship idols and we are ever devoted unto them. This was the answer. The uncle and the people of Prophet Abraham gave to his question. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ Prophet Abraham, as the Holy Quran says, for the start of the invitation went to the close relatives of him, and he asked them, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ What is it that you are worshipping? With a kind of humiliation. But they were really firm, they were proud of their deed, and they said, we worship idols, نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا And they continued, for emphasis, فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ And we are ever devoted unto them. So, this means that they were not really shameful. They thought that this is a very respected thing they're doing. The point that we missed to mention in the previous episodes regarding the verse is that Prophet Abraham started his invitation to monotheism from his close relatives and kinship. But what did he start with? What was the subject he brought forth in the first step? As we have already said, the most important thing that the prophets, the divine men of the Almighty Allah, the vicegerents of him, are sent to awaken the people at first is monotheism. Is to remind them that there is an absolute cause in this world, in this universe, and that is nothing and no one but the Lord of the worlds, Rabbul Alameen. This has been the main and focal point of the invitation of the whole prophets throughout the history. In this case as well, we see that the prophet Abraham started his invitation with what they were worshipping, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ So, one of the conditions that we must remind ourselves, and we must have it in our minds while inviting people, while enjoining good and forbidding the evil, is to start with the prioritized ones. There might be different misdeeds, or there might be different goods that some people around us are forgetting about, but we have to prioritize them based on the teachings of our religion, and then we start our invitation to good and our forbidding of evil. The worst evil in that society was paganism, was the fact that they were not worshiping the Lord of the worlds, and this is exactly what Prophet Abraham started with.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Dear listeners, this is the answer they gave to Prophet Abraham. نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. We worship idols and we are ever devoted unto them. There are, however, a couple of points remaining to be mentioned regarding this verse. The first point is that worshipping by itself is not a value. There must be two points considered in worshipping: the thing or the one who or which is being worshipped, and the amount of our knowledge and understanding and our cognition. We must be aware of the thing we are worshipping, of the thing we are referring to and we are relying on. And these idolaters, they were not aware of the Lord of the worlds, and they were truly, by the depth of their hearts, worshipping it. The verse says, نَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. It's not just for one night and day. This is our tradition. This is what we do. And the last point to be mentioned is that worse than misdeeds and worse than the wrongdoings in the society is to be proud of those misdeeds and wrong actions. In this case, they said we worship idols, but worse than that, we are ever devoted unto them. This is the worst part of the wrongdoings. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So let's understand how love works, okay? Any positive qualities, we have established the importance of hub, the importance of love. Any positive quality that we have must be naturally emitting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a philosophical concept, okay? That it's not possible for that which is recognized and accepted and understood as a positive quality for it not to be present in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the giver of all qualities, right? And so hub is one of those qualities that we understand its importance. God has described for its importance. Therefore, love starts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why one of His names is that He is what? Habib, right? He is Habib. This is why Allah is Habib. He is Muhib. Muhib has different meanings, meaning the one who is loved, Mahbub, and the one who does the loving. This is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. But how does God's love work? Now pay attention to this. God's love starts with His love for Himself. The primary love is God's love for Himself. Now, what does that mean, right? Love, we love, what is love, right? Like, what do we love? We love something, and just pay attention. We love something that we perceive and recognize within that thing qualities of perfection and beauty. Correct or no? Right? We love that thing in which we can recognize and perceive and understand within that thing that there are qualities of perfection and beauty in that thing. Because no one loves that which is imperfect. No one loves that which is not pleasant, not beautiful. Now, what we think is beautiful changes from person to person. Sometimes even people who have bad vices, why do they love those vices? Because at that moment, they think that there is some form of beauty in that vice. It gives them certain pleasure, and so they are attracted to that. But as insan, as human beings, or just in general, we only love that which we perceive within it, qualities of perfection and beauty. Okay? There is no one more beautiful and more perfect than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Agreed? And His ability to perceive and understand His own beauty and perfection is the highest form of perception that there is. Hence, His love for Himself is the greatest as well. You get that or no? Yeah? It's important. It's really a beautiful concept, okay? Loving oneself, hubbul dhat, is a naturally occurring phenomenon. We've touched upon that in so many lectures, right? But the way it's a naturally occurring phenomenon is because it begins with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His ability to recognize His own perfection is far greater than any other creation. Hence, His love for Himself is the greatest. Okay? Then, this love that is with God, He then shares it with people. Okay? The way God is merciful, He shares His mercy with people. God is loving, He shares His love with people. The categories of love that God gives to His people fall into three categories. The first category is general love. General love, now don't we just, it can't be trivialized. This love is still very powerful. It's through this love that God provides to every creation, be they believers or not. It doesn't matter. God will provide for them, sustain them, nourish them. Why? Because God loves His creation. Never think that God dislikes His creation. It's the creation that turns away from God. God doesn't do that, right? And so there's this general love that every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoys. Then there is a second category of love, which is a special love. This special love are for those who reciprocate their love back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? You understand or no? These are for us, we can say, the believers, who do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. All right? They take care of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be taken care of. And how do we know what He loves? It's not a mystery. When we read the Quran is full of examples of the things that God loves. For example, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِرِينَ. God loves those who turn back to Him. And God loves those who are in a state of cleanliness. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. God loves the God conscious. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. He loves those who do good. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ. What's interesting here, so there are many examples of the things that He loves. But when it comes to the things that He does not love, and He does not like, He doesn't say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِذُ. He doesn't say Allah dislikes, detests these things. He still comes from the perspective of love. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. It's a very beautiful way. He doesn't like those who are unjust to others. Yeah? It's a very beautiful way, right? Like when you love somebody and you can say, I dislike this. Or you say, Baba, I really don't like when you do this. There's a difference in that. And look at the way God talks to us. Yeah? إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. So many times in the Quran, Allah tells us very specifically that which He loves and that which He does not love. For the people who follow this to the T and say, you know what? I am going to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and I am going to not do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love, they earn this second category of love, which is known as the special love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third category of love, now this is where it's really important. This is the perfect love that God gives. Okay, so we said there's a general love, then there is a special love, then there is a perfect love. Now when we say the perfect love, this is the love that God gives in its perfect form. Now this is not all the love that God has, of course not, right? But this is all the love that one has the capacity of handling. It's a big difference, yeah? God's love is there. Sometimes because of our own actions, we are not ready to absorb this love of God. But there are certain individuals who can take all the love that God is sending down for them. Now we had said, okay, that love is given or love is felt for that in which we can understand qualities of perfection and beauty in that thing. Understood? That's what we said love was. There are people who, because of their perfection and beauty that God recognizes, He sends more love towards them. And there has not been a more perfect and more beautiful human being than Rasulullah. Hence, the love that God sends to the Prophet is the most perfect and most kamal form of love, which is why Rasulullah is known as Habibullah.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا
In the limelight.
Climate emergency is just a rhetoric by Western regimes. This claim is evident by these regimes' disregard for the climate emergency and warnings against fossil fuel exploration. In a new move, the UK has opened up a new licensing round to allow oil and gas companies to explore for fossil fuels in the North Sea despite threats of a legal battle from climate campaigners. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Guardian wrote this headline saying UK offers new North Sea oil and gas licenses despite climate concerns. Guardian said the UK has opened up a new licensing round to allow oil and gas companies to explore for fossil fuels in the North Sea despite threats of a legal battle from climate campaigners. The North Sea Transition Authority has begun a process to award more than 100 licenses to companies hoping to extract oil and gas in the area. Almost 900 locations are being offered up for exploration. The process, which will run until the end of June, is the first since 2019 to 2020. The process was near annual before that, but it was put on hold by the government while it designed a climate compatibility check. However, the check has been criticized because it is only advisory and does not restrict authorities from granting a license. The licensing round also faces criticism as it will not solve Britain's short-term problems around potential gas shortages or sky-high bills. Climate campaigners at Greenpeace said the decision to launch the licensing round was possibly unlawful, and we will be carefully examining opportunities to take action. Since Liz Truss became Prime Minister, she has reopened the door to fracking in the UK and resisted calls from Labour to extend the windfall tax on oil and gas companies. The chief executive of Shell this week said governments may need to tax energy companies to fund efforts to protect the poorest people from soaring bills. The government argues the new licenses will boost Britain's energy security and create jobs, while the climate minister, Graham Stewart, said it would be good for the environment. Actually, it's good for the environment because when we burn our own gas, it's got lower emissions around its production than foreign gas, as well as supporting British jobs, Stewart claimed, speaking to BBC Breakfast. Philip Evans, an energy transition campaigner for Greenpeace UK, said, "Yet again, this government's energy policy benefits fossil fuel companies and no one else. Supporting the oil and gas giants, profiteering from the energy and climate crises, ignores the speedy solutions that are best for the economy, for lowering bills, and for the climate. Experts have repeatedly made clear that we need warmer, energy-efficient homes and a big push for cheap, homegrown, renewable power." Yesterday, the IMF explained yet again that any delay to decarbonization makes it much more expensive. New oil and gas licenses won't lower energy bills for struggling families this winter or any winter soon, nor provide energy security in the midterm. Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon said there has to be a transition away from oil and gas and accused the UK government of haphazard planning for energy. Speaking to BBC Breakfast before the SNP party conference in Aberdeen, she said, "In terms of new licenses, I have been very clear that within the context of that just transition, we've got to subject any decisions about further exploitation of oil and gas to the most stringent climate checks." She added, "I worry right now that what we are hearing from the UK government is just a continuation of their haphazard planning about energy."
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, with the presence of two dear experts, we want to talk about the concept of Islam and the rights of the men and women in the religion of Islam. Just look at the cartoons on the feminist, you know, magazines. There is a man, we can say, in the kitchen washing the dishes with the baby on the shoulders, and the woman is working out. And the feminists say, okay, this is what we are looking for after. This is, again, you know, by the name of criticizing men's supremacy, you are establishing a kind of women's supremacy all across the world, you know.
Yeah.
I do want to say nothing is in its place. But in the religion of Islam, everything is in its place. The roles are classified, the talents.
After some time, you will have masculinism.
Masculinism, okay. sorry to say that, but some of the feminist looks, you know, are looking how to make men pregnant. Is it at all possible, you know, going and acting against the nature?
Yes.
This is really dangerous, you know. And unfortunately, the deviated, we can say some of the deviated feminist values are getting into the Muslim lands too. Okay, put off your hijab, put off your covering. This is your right. Who said so? The Western world and the women in the Western world established feminism. Why? Because the women were changed into sex idols. In order to support their rights and not being sex idol, they said, we want have our own rights. What about Me Too movement? Just look at it, okay? What is the main claim of the Me Too movement? They were sexually raped, sexually assaulted, okay? Sexually abused, misused by the money, by the power, by the Hollywood, this and that. And now they established Me Too movement. Let's get back to the first place. If you covered your hijab, your chastity, you know, your haya, nothing like this would happen. All these values have been in the text of the Quran, in the holy religion of Islam, more than 1400 years ago. Believe me, you have to go and check in the history which religion gives the value of the women. Just look at the text of the holy Quran, that, for example, the titles Rajul and Emra are repeated each 24 times. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the same share to the thousands of the women and men in the Holy Quran. Okay, Shaykh. So, but nowadays the religion of Islam is attacked and criticized for violating the rights of the women. Okay, I don't understand this. Let's understand this. Why?
You know, one of the very important questions that you raised in your speech is this, that who said such thing about men and women,
yes,
that nowadays, for example, these modern feministic movements they seek after? It's a very, very essential question. Mm-hmm. That when we, for example, want to establish a kind of rules or legal system for men and women, then the question is that how and from what kind of source we should establish this system. Mm-hmm. For these rulings and laws and rules are based on what kind of principles?
Very good. Or values.
Or values.
Exactly. System of the
exactly.
values.
Exactly. System okay. of values, principles, okay. beliefs. Are those principles and beliefs kind of solid, concrete mm-hmm. kind of beliefs? And are they logically true? Are they rationally understandable and true or not? If they are not true, let's forget about them.
Okay.
If they are true, if they are something solid and concrete, so of course we have to accept them, we have to follow them. When it comes to these main principles, main value systems, we must see that if there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the creator of the whole universe, as the creator of the mankind, so of course he knows best that what is the best things for both men and women, not only men and women, for the whole creatures, for the whole creation, for the whole universe, for the whole world, for the whole nature. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes this kind of system, legal system, in terms of men and women, animals, I don't know, other creatures, yes. Environment.
Okay.
So it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built and created this environment for us in the best possible way.
Yes.
So if you want to destroy this, if you want to fight against this system, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against nature, against this best possible system or, let's say, environment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with, so of course we destroy everything.
Yes.
It is a kind of damage and hurt, not only for us and also for the nature, for the honor, for the other creatures, yes. And animals. So that's why we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most perfect. He is the absolute, he has the absolute knowledge.
Okay.
And he is the absolute merciful, kind and wise.
Yes.
And he is at the same time the creator. This is the principle that we believe in Islam.
Yes.
Based on this principle, we believe that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is the true system,
mm-hmm.
is the true legal system. Yes. It is, as our brother Sayyid mentioned, it is to help us to perfect ourselves. So mm-hmm. if we want to perfect ourselves, what does perfection mean? Perfection means to acquire and to achieve more pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
More pleasures.
Yes.
If we are looking after more pleasure, looking forward more pleasures, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the main sources of all the pleasures.
Yes.
That we okay. are looking forward. So that's why if we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you follow the rules, we will get more perfection, we will get more pleasures, we will have a peaceful life, a happy life, a prosperous life.
Yes.
Otherwise, we will have a satanic life.
Okay.
Which will be lots of evils, troubles, problems, and challenges in that life.
That's right.
So that's why we follow Islam.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that we violate the rights of others. No, we do support the true rights of men and women okay. based on those kind of natural okay. and, let's say, scientific kind of nature of the men and women.
That's right. So, Sayyid, so the liberal capital world defines a system for us and defines a new system of the lifestyle for the women across the world. So, Islamic values are against this value system of the liberal capital of the world. So that's why the Western world is after saving the Muslim women, for example, from hijab, from haya, from, we can say, doing their works in the house, parenting the children, this and that?
No, that is not the case. The case is that they're against Islam itself.
Okay.
So any value that Islam has, anything that brings, you know, the strong belief in the Muslims or which saves them from following the other ideas, they're against it. They want to violate all the rules and laws that are in Islam. For example, alcohol is forbidden. They allow people, you're free. You know, the people who migrate to the West. Hijab is one of the main things that brings the prosperity, the piety in a woman, the chastity, and they're against it. So this is not because of the feminism or liberal feminism. It's because these are the values of Islam. These are values which gives honor. And they do not want the honor of the women. Let me explain this idea, is that in capitalism, the main idea of capitalism, the principles of capitalism, what are they? The thing is that you can earn anything without any limits.
Okay.
You can make people slaves. It's in their principles that if you can make people slave, if you can make people work for you, no matter whatever they do, you just use your power and money in order to get them to work for you so that they can make more profit for you. This is what capitalism is. On the other hand, the socialism came for the labor. In the labor, they had the women, kids, men as a labor. So the main point was that these women who were at that time in the capitalism, in the socialism, they did not have the right for vote. They did not have the equal wages. They could not run the public offices. They could not work. They could not have the equal pay. They could not own the property. So these were the things which started the feminism in the beginning.
That's right.
Okay. But later, these powers, they changed the face of the feminism towards Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, look, we are allowing you to come without will. You can okay. work in the offices. It is Islam.
Sorry, but we do not have any concept of Islamic feminism.
No, there
because
is nothing.
Because inside the
there
religion of Islam, inside the religion of Islam nowadays, there are some female movements which call themselves feminists.
Those women are not religious, number one.
Really?
They never read the religion, okay. Number two. They are liberal Muslims.
Okay.
They are maybe, you know, the American Muslims,
okay,
or the British Muslims,
okay,
which I call, this is wrong because in Islam we don't have American or British Muslim.
Okay.
In Islam we have a Muslim living in America.
Uh-huh.
Muslim living in Iran, in Iraq, I don't know, in Europe, in China. We all are Muslims.
Okay.
We must read Quran. When a lady who reads Quran, who gets the guidance from the Quran, she knows that there is nothing that exists as the name of feminism in Islam.
Because they believe, for example, that a woman can be, you know, recently I just looked at the video and the footage of this Islamic, we can say feminism, that the lady was the imam of the jama'ah, of the prayer, of Salat in a mosque in London. It was,
that is,
I think,
that has been made by the British Muslims. That's what I say.
And all
we don't
the men
have
were
these concepts.
Her.
Yes, we don't have, okay, these concepts of British Muslim, American Muslim.
Okay.
We have Muslim living in the areas,
okay, okay,
in different areas.
Okay.
And the main idea is that these governments, these Western governments, they are supporting such people. And obviously, if you ask that lady who was imam about to read even a verse of a Quran or maybe to translate some Arabic phrase, she couldn't do it because she never read Arabic,
okay,
she never know Quran.
No, maybe
the
she's capable, but the capabilities are different, you know?
Only reading the things is not important. The,
okay,
the main important is like when you have read the Quran,
yes,
Quran has clearly made some rules for you.
Okay.
This is the book of guidance. When you get your guidance from there, then obviously there is nothing,
mm-hmm,
as a concept of woman becoming the imam for the, you know, she can lead the prayer for the women,
okay,
but not for the males or,
yes,
the people standing equal in the same line with,
yeah,
the imam and all
this
those.
This is what's happening,
so
unfortunately.
This is happening because it's been injected.
Yes.
Like the way we see like the ISIS or Daesh was injected,
yes,
in,
yes,
Islam.
Yes, yes.
The Wahhabism has been injected,
yes,
in Islam.
Okay.
So we see all these things, these deviations being injected by the Western power or the enemies of Islam into Islam.
That's right, right. Okay. Sheikh Rouhani, your final remarks, anything missed?
Yes, of course. As I told you, if feminism means to help, to protect, to support women, if feminism means these,
yes,
of course, Islam is not opposed and against this value. Islam is not against women. Islam is not against protection of women. Islam is not against supporting women, perfection of women. But of course, if feminism means something to be completely and thoroughly opposed Islam,
this is
so. Opposed nature.
Yeah, opposed Islam.
Opposed nature,
and
opposed values.
At the same time, opposed,
yes,
nature, of course. In that case, we do not
opposing
have
men,
of,
you know.
Yeah, opposing men. Yeah,
yeah, they are.
And
they are opposing men,
have,
you know. Sometimes say that, okay, opposing men, and everything is upon the, who said so. For example, for the women,
mm-hmm,
to work inside the house, just let's take the men. But inside the religion of Islam, again, the values and the duties.
You know, in Islam, we have this, that the man who goes
must
in
help
his house, he must help his,
yes,
wife.
Yes, very good.
In the house. And Allah,
yes,
has made different ranks, rewards for him.
Yes, yes.
And the rewards that the person who is married, who helps his,
very
wife,
good,
and children,
okay,
is more than the person who just is without,
yes,
marriage.
That's right.
So Islam has given rights to everyone. Even Islam takes care about the wife. It orders the man to help the wife, orders,
yes,
wife to help the man.
That's
so
right.
It's all based on the justice, and that is the main theme in Islam,
that's all right,
equity and justice.
Yes. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen and Sheikh Rouhani, for presence in the program Viewpoints. It was very kind of you talking about the concept of equality, whether equity in the religion of Islam. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us to another episode. God bless you. Afi Amanullah.
Accept Al-Habib. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at traits and virtues that if I and you adopt, it should make us better human beings in terms of dealing with other people and maintain.